a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Now 4.3 to go. Thompson on Brown. Into the lane. Got the shot up. 0.7 to go. Thompson gives the Rockets the lead.
Are you kidding me?
Richard! Oh, the Rockets win the game!
Give the ball right back. You love that. From Ime Udoka. He gave up the bucket. Give it back to him.
114! 112! Another dragon has been slain!
Rockets launch!
Nailed it that time.
Much like Amen Thompson was nailing the Celtics up and down the court last night. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a freak. He does things I don't think many players in the league can do. Honestly, I don't think any players in the league are as fast as him at that size, with that frame, with that leaping ability. And I will say it right now, officially, as of last night, January 27th, 2025, in Boston, Massachusetts, a place where there's 18 title banners hanging in the rafters, including last year's, Amen Thompson became an NBA star.
Is he going to win 18 championships? Oh, no, you're not saying that. I agree. He has developed into this just magnificent basketball player at a rapid rate. Like, I'm all in on star. I don't know about superstar, because I do think there's a difference.
Yes.
I do think there's a difference.
But I don't think the Rockets had a star yet. I think you look at Jalen Green, too inconsistent. Yeah, he can score. Lots of players in the NBA can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say Jalen Green, when he's on his A game, isn't super talented. It's more to say, I think there's a lot of players like Jalen Green in the NBA. Alperen Şengün, a little more unique, but same way where there are guys who do what Şengün does a little bit better than him. And I feel like, given that Şengün still gets benched from time to time.
Yes.
Not as much as he used to. There's reasons to say we're waiting to see if he can develop into that guy. Obviously, the Rockets feel great about both of those players, and this is not me slighting them. I just think that Amen Thompson has an unlimited ceiling.
Yeah, he has superstar potential. Like, you think about, what is a superstar? And the way you say it is perfect. Like, he does things that no one else can do. Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic. Like, those guys that have things in their bag that very few other guys can do. Like, you think about the athleticism of what Russell Westbrook was. Even the scoring ability at one point that James Harden, like, used to have and doesn't have now. Like, he can just do things that are on such a different level. And the fact that my favorite part is that he does them for the entire game. Like, he doesn't vanish. He doesn't vanish for two quarters.
He was, of all the players on the court last night, going up against a team that has Jason Tatum, who's been in MVP conversations before, never seriously, but one of the best players in the league. And he held him scoreless in the first half and regularly looked like the best player in the game, to the point where it was difficult to see because it's a TV broadcast, but there were multiple times while watching this game where I caught Celtics players, Kristaps Porzingis especially, shrugging and being like, damn, I don't know what I'm seeing right now. And supposedly those who watched the game on the Boston Celtics broadcast for NBA League Pass, I had a couple of people telling me on Twitter, yeah, they're saying the same thing. They're looking at him and they're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Who the hell is this guy? He is kicking our ass. What are we supposed to do? He's faster than everybody. He can jump taller than everybody. And in last night's game, he did a little bit of everything. There's an alley-oop. He had two, not one, but two huge shots with just the right amount of touch in the lane, in the paint, to keep the Rockets in a game that was a slugfest in the last minute. Like, I thought after that Alperen Şengün breakaway, beautiful pass to the dunk, that was going to put the Celtics in a bind. And no, they answered again because, you know, they're a damn good team, even if they were missing Derek White last night. and I think another player wasn't playing for them too. But Amen Thompson throughout the game was doing things and you're like, holy crap. And it's becoming more than, you know, once in a blue moon. It's routine. You're seeing it like 2 to 3 times a quarter where he does something. And you're like, what did he just do?
Yeah, he just has eye-popping moments. And, I, you know, the Rockets haven't had, like, you know, have they had a game winner besides that this season? Now that I can't really think of one off the top of my head. But, like, I was always kind of curious, like, as this team has developed, of like, who was the play drawn up for? Is it for Alpi, for Green, for Amen Thompson? And by Udoka showing, like, that's the guy who's getting the ball when we need him. And to go at Jaylen Brown in the way he did, who is a great defender in the NBA right now, and to break his ankles like that was a super impressive move. And it's funny to think, like Shams Charania just tweeted out the rising star player pool for the All-Star game. And, like, it's crazy where Amen Thompson is. And then you see the sophomores list of this, and that's where he's at. Like, he's still going to be in the rising stars game, and he's playing to this level already. It's super impressive. Reed Shepard will be on representing the G League in this. But it's just... I never in my wildest dreams did I think that Amen Thompson would be this guy, honestly. Like, I thought he just might be, like, a really good defender. Like a Tony Allen. But, like, more athletic. But offensively, he's doing way more than all of that.
I like that we're getting to a point now where going into drafts, we are sometimes being surprised in the NBA. Because I feel like the NFL, it's completely a crapshoot who ends up being a good quarterback, who ends up being a bust, you know, like Tom Brady's pick 199, and other quarterbacks who aren't taken first overall end up being the best, like Patrick Mahomes' 10th overall pick. But in the NBA, I think we've always had this idea that, like, you need to have a top five pick. If you don't have a top five pick, you're effed. And then you take a look at some of the guys who are the best players in the league. Some of them are falling, like a Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he hadn't really developed as much as he did to that point before the draft, or Nikola Jokic, who falls as far as he does. But also at the top, you know, everyone was looking at that draft and saying, like, oh, if you don't get Wemby, I mean, damn. Like, yeah, sure, Scoot Henderson. Yeah, sure, Brandon Miller and all the off-the-court incidents with him. But after that, it was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, then it's like one of the twins, Cam Whitmore.
Like, maybe they'll be a contributor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no debating this. He's doing things that now everyone is watching, and they're blown away by it, too. It's not just us. And I think that's the sign of a star. And I know a lot of people wanted to put Jalen Green there and Alperen Şengün there, and maybe they'll still get there. But, like, I'm ready to say it right now, less than a month of him as a starter, when you're getting a triple-double and a win over the Eastern Conference-benched Cavaliers on Saturday, and on Monday, the entirety of the game against Boston, you are just kicking their ass on both ends of the court. You're a star.
And like, you think about, like, the what he means for the future of the Rockets, everything now should be about Amen Thompson. Like, yeah, the future of Jalen Green, of Alperen Şengün, of, like, when you think about trade deadlines, not just now, but next year in the summer, everything, the idea of it should be, okay, like, how does this player fit alongside Amen Thompson? I think the good part is it feels like it almost, like, doesn't matter. Like it feels like almost anyone could play with Amen Thompson. It just because he does everything so well and does everything on the court besides shoot threes. Like, I don't know what player wouldn't fit next to him at this point.
I think really the question is, what do you try to get him to maximize? And yeah, and where do you play him? Because, like, I know there are people that eventually want to see him play point guard. Is that ever a possibility? I don't know. He's a pretty good passer, but still a little careless with some of the things he does. I don't know if he's the best dribbler at this point in his career, and that's a difficult skill to get significantly better at. We'll say Jaylen Brown got better at it after the brutal Eastern Conference Finals he had against the Heat.
Like, on the biggest stage.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, a lot of, I think, just going back a little bit ago, once Thompson got into the starting lineup and there were a couple of games where Fred VanVleet wasn't playing, they moved Thompson into that spot, and I don't know. But that's what I'm wondering about, too. It's, yes, how do these other guys fit with him? The good news is it seems like everyone fits. Now, also, you got to wonder, all right, so what do we want him to hone on now? Because clearly he can do so many damn good things, but there's going to be certain things that Udoka and this organization want him to excel at. And I am really curious about that because his athleticism, to start off from that with just the foundation, holy crap. So now it's like, do you want him to be a better shooter? Do you want him to really focus on becoming the best distributor? Do you want him to try to be like, I think Lance said this, if Ben Simmons wasn't a meow, you know, because he's got all those Ben Simmons talents mm-hmm. that he could never figure out because he was drowned in loser juice in Philadelphia.
Like, do you want him to develop a three-pointer? Like, is it necessary?
I mean, to develop more of a three-pointer.
Yeah, more.
But he,
yeah.
he doesn't need to be Kyle Korver. Like, he just needs to...
Needs to be a threat?
Yeah, and I think he's already, again, to compare him to Ben Simmons, like, more of a threat. Like, he takes them. He has taken them.
He made one last night.
Yeah, he's good in the corners, or he's at least, like, pretty good in the corners. So, I think that the most encouraging thing is that you have a good feeling, not just about his athleticism and his basketball IQ, which is like the hardest stuff to teach or to hone in. It's also that the character just seems off the charts with this guy, that you know that he is going to keep putting the work in, and he's going to be a good leader of the team if he continues to develop the way he does. That, yeah, you feel good about the way and the culture your team is going to have when Amin Thompson's your best player, which it looks like he's going to be.
Well, and he's also, and yeah, he's the perfect culture builder for Ime. Yeah. Like, everything Ime wants in a basketball player, he represents. And, like, you look at some of the numbers that people have put out this year about, like, best pick-and-roll defenders in the NBA, Jalen Green's at the top of the list, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But Amin Thompson is, like, anything, any free agent, any trade, any draft prospect with all these picks the Rockets still have, if you're going to bring someone in, it's like you have to do what that guy does.
Yeah.
Like, he sets the tone for this team of everything you want an Ime Udoka player.
Yeah, it's the Tom Brady getting ripped in front of the entire team by Belichick thing. It's if he's going to do all the dirty work, if he's going to get coached the way he gets coached, like, well, hell yeah, I'm going to have to get coached that way too.
Right. And, I mean, we've heard Ime Udoka already say this year, if Amin Thompson gives up a bucket, I'm pissed. And then maybe he's pissed off about that one that Jason Tatum got by him.
Yeah. Could have lost us the game.
Right.
That was the game tire.
It was the game
tire. And he let Jason Tatum, of all people, get to the bucket against
See, that's the funny thing, because Tatum had no chance in the first half.
He was scoreless in the first half.
Like, that part, to me, and every now and then Tatum, even though Tatum is put up there on a pedestal as one of the best players in the NBA, as someone who watches the Celtics regularly, Tatum disappears from games from time to time. But that was not because of just the way that the game was going. That was because Amin Thompson was just all on him.
Yeah.
And I think Tatum, it took him a while just to figure out, like, what do I do here?
I mean, it is crazy looking at the Celtics, who are like the blueprint of, like, of having these big athletic wings, having 3-and-D guards, having at least one big man who can shoot and protect the rim in Porzingis. Also, they have Horford, who wasn't playing. And you look at the Rockets and you're like, you know what? The Rockets kind of match up well against this team that we just saw, like, easily walk through the Eastern Conference and find its way into a title, which some of that is like the injuries in the East, but some of it was they're just clearly the best team last year. And you see, at least for one night, that the Rockets, like, you know, they can really kind of put out a lineup where there's Tari Eason and Amin Thompson, and you're not really giving up much when it comes to the defensive matchup with Brown and Tatum. Right. And there's not very many teams that can put out two wings that can handle the two wings that the Celtics have. And that's before you throw in, oh, also you're going to have Green, also you're going to have Şengün out there. So it really is, I mean, this is what we said earlier. Like, this is the fun part where you're kind of, it's the part of the movie where the superheroes are figuring out their powers.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's still like, oh, God, Amin Thompson can do that.
Wow. We haven't gotten to the point where we know who the antagonist is or where the hero starts questioning themselves.
Uncle Ben hasn't died.
Right. That all comes next year. I see this on Twitch from Kane Darko. I love how y'all really believe the Rockets will win a championship sometime before 2035. None of us have said anything about a championship.
Well, 2035?
But that seems...
They're going to win a title before 2035.
Joe.
Come on.
It does stand to reason that if this is the foundational piece, and if this is the team that
continues to play like this for Ime Udoka, that they got a real shot. I'm assuming that person's from Dallas. And listen, you blew your chance.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're going to give me an 11-year window to say a team that's this young and this good already is going to win
that's
a championship.
That's a big window.
Like,
I mean,
I'll take the bet.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just like, I don't know what the odds are on that, but like, sure, why not?
What's more likely that the Rockets win the title over that stretch, or that Kane Darko dies? Like that? Well, I'm just asking the question.
We don't know. You're right.
Give me Darko.
Ooh, damn. Like, I don't know if he's a young man. I don't know if he's an old man.
Could be a woman.
It could be anyone. But like, if we're going 11 years, I mean, I don't know. Like,
although you would have said, you know, the Durant, Westbrook, Harden, Thunder team that made the finals, you've been like, obviously they're gonna win one.
Kane says that he's lived in Houston since 2000, Paul. Okay, well, listen, we're not wishing your demise. I just want that clear. All I'm saying is, like, 2035 is such a huge window.
I don't know if there's a single team that I'd say. I mean, other than the ones that are good right now. Like, the Celtics are probably going to get one for 35.
Probably OKC you would bet on.
OKC. Spurs.
Yeah, I think they got to be on the list.
Yeah. No, you would say...
There's going to be one.
Like, if you're going to bet on teams to win championships in the next 11 years...
I love
you would say
I love
the Celtics,
so
you would say the Thunder, the Rockets. I probably would bet on the Spurs because of Wemby.
Kane Darko's a good sport, by the way. He says, I'm definitely dying before the Rockets win the title. All right, we like you, Kane Darko. You can stay in our very dark, twitchy times. By the way, we're all out on Jimmy Butler now officially, right? Like, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, I mean, look, I know that rumor gets brought up from time to time. Ah, he's from Tomball. Do you know that?
Out on everybody.
Out on everybody.
No trades.
No trades.
Really?
Like, Robert Williams at most. Like, people are talking about Kevin Durant still, like, because they're stuck with Bradley Beal. He's not waiving his no-trade clause to Chicago. So, like, they are not getting Jimmy Butler unless Bradley Beal waives it somewhere else. But, like, so they're stuck. But, like, people are still talking about Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm fine with a additional role player to be traded for Jock Landale and, like, a first, whatever, fine. Let this team cook. Like,
oh, this year. This
Yeah, yeah.
Deadline.
Like,
oh.
No Jimmy Butler right now. No Kevin Durant right now. Like, yeah, if Devin Booker becomes available in the offseason, please and thank you.
I'm almost like borderline of like even this offseason, barring, I think Booker and Giannis are like the only two that would be like, yeah, sure, let's make this trade. Everyone else, I might just want to see. And obviously, there's still, 30 games left of this season? So we'll find out more about, you know, how the rest of the team fits around Amin Thompson. How Jalen and Şengün fit around Amin Thompson. I really like the Amin and Alperen Şengün combo because Amin is a great cutter, and so Şengün's a great passer. And so, boom, you get a lot of dunks like that. But I think the rest of the year is more about let's figure out the hierarchy here, and then we'll figure out the trades in July if there's any available.
Yeah, and if there's not, then, like, you just keep going.
You feel good. You feel good. Like, this isn't like the last 2 years where it felt like, oh, my God, if there's not a star trade, like, what are we doing here? We're now and maybe some of it was impatience, although I will point the finger a little bit at Tillman Fertitta for
100.
His public comments. But credit
these
to him.
Two.
Yeah, credit to him for not actually, like, pushing the button on any trade to thrust them into phase two or phase three. But we spent the whole time, basically, since Ime Udoka's gotten hired, being like, who's the star that's going to be on the Rockets? Or who's going to be the star for the Rockets to make that next step? Might be Amin Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and Jalen Green. That might be the stars that you have.
Joe said, let him cook.
Let him cook.
Let him cook.
It's so 2021.
Okay.
We have to the new hip saying.
I'm out. If this is the stuff you've been getting taught.
Joe, you ain't down with the streets like me.
Yeah.
Y'all mean? Yeah. For real.
Oh, I thought you meant like those, like that 21-year-old girl streets.
What?
Like slay. Period.
No, I'm not doing slay.
Oh,
I'm not doing period.
That's what you were. I thought you were gonna say let him slay.
Yo, I be busting right now, no cap. So on God, you best back off before I broccoli cut your ass. Okay.
See what?
For real, yo.
And this is what the kids is saying now. The Rockets' aura is maxing. You heard?
I heard. A lot, actually. I heard it a lot.
I heard it a lot last night. And yo, for real?
Can someone explain to me like
that's
a
what's what? What?
What it means? Aura is maxing.
Man, come on. How do you not know what aura maxing is?
Teach me, Paul.
Man.
I'm the student. You're the master.
I don't. What's up with this Jamoke over here? I don't know what aura is maxing is. Didn't you hear it 20 times during last night's game?
I heard it a lot.
That aura maxing, son. On God.
For real, for real?
Bussing. You know? Not Ohio out there. Ahmed Thompson making people look like Ohio. Aura B maxing. For real. You guys aren't hip. I am. It's fine. I raise the level of cool.
He does.
On this radio station.
Yeah.
Being totally serious.
Yeah. We just heard all of it.
Ryan Hollins is keeping us all cool. If you watch the Space City Home Network podcast. Was that a prank? Was he trolling us?
He said that
at least six times. I even texted Vanessa. I was like, what is going on?
It had to have been like a side bet that he had.
I don't know, man. His nephew or something.
Dude, I remember, like, you never know because, like, I remember when I was at 610 and the Dynamo were there, they used to give Glenn a word of the game.
Oh.
I think Seth used to do it. I think it was Glenn. But, like, they would give these, like, complex words. Of like random things to say that sounded super awkward, and they would like force them into the broadcast. So like maybe someone was like, "Hey, just see how many times you can say aura."
Yeah, I think it's like his 17-year-old nephew.
Yeah,
like, try to say.
He's just trying to come up with a catchphrase.
Chia.
Aura
is maxing.
Uh-huh. From the 832. What's incredible to me is how Ahmed makes it look so effortless, as opposed to Shingun, who kind of looks like he's struggling to make moves. Love them both though. Yeah, Ahmed Thompson. It's like everyone else is moving at one time speed, and he's listening to the podcast at 1.75 speed.
Yeah, it's Neo in the Matrix.
It really is.
It's like he can go faster than you, but then if you somehow keep up, he's go faster, and then he comes to a complete stop, and you're still going. Like, he has so much margin for error for, like, how much space he can create.
I can't believe, you know, too, when Russell Westbrook first came onto the scene, we were all stunned by how fast he was. But there were times where Russell Westbrook felt out of control, and I never feel that with Ahmed Thompson.
No, it's the, like, I mean, you saw it on the game winner where he didn't go up strong. He goes up, and then he goes for a floater there. And the sequence that we mentioned earlier where he blocks Drew Holiday, saves the ball, outlet pass, and then joins the offense, catches the ball, and does a reverse layup around, I forgot if it was Kornet or Porzingis. But he does like the finesse finishing just as well as he does the power finishing around the basket. That's why I don't think Russell Westbrook's a good comp for him, because you're completely disregarding the basketball IQ side of his game, which is off the charts.
Yeah, it reminds me of Derrick Rose. Like, it's really the only thing that, like, the speed.
Rose is a good one. I mean, finishing. But he's like 5 inches taller.
No, it's like, exactly. But it's like, it's almost like, it's like Derrick Rose with like Draymond combined. I don't know. Like, but like the speed in which he plays, like that's what reminds me of Derrick. And then like the power, the finesse, the ability to just do whatever he wants at any time. The speed, like I think it's the closest thing for me. Like it reminds me of, but just in a different body.
Yeah. On God.
For real.
Bussin'.
Period.
Slay.
There we go. Now you guys are getting it. We just maxed the aura. Is maxing.
Yeah. New segment?
Maybe. Let's see what he does tonight in Rockets Hawks. This might be Ryan Hollins like trying to become like, this is his bazinga. And listen, the team's getting good right now.
I mean,
the team's getting good. So, like, Ryan, you got to come up with something, okay? Like, Craig Ackerman's fantastic. He's done a fantastic job this season. There's been a lot of fun moments. I think he brings the right amount of energy, blah, 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 blah. Ryan Hollins, listen, we need a catchphrase. I don't know if aura is maxing is the one, but you can keep trying it. I'll co-sign it to be hip.
I'm not sure.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
So it was a busy weekend. The Rockets got that big win over the Cavaliers. They followed up with a win over the Celtics last night. The Cougs had that epic victory over Kansas, where they were down 6 points twice at the end of regulation, at the end of overtime one. They still pulled off the win. We didn't talk about something else that happened in the world of college basketball. Yikes. Texas A&M, ranked 13th at the time, was in Austin playing Texas. They blew it away. They blew it at the last shot.
I mean, they were what, up 20? Is it 21, Sean?
22. They led by 22. Oof. They lost to Texas A&M 70-69.
That is a bad day to be outscored 45-26 in the second half after dominating. I mean, look, A&M's a good team this year. Texas, I'm surprised. Sean, what's up with the rankings? A&M's 13th in the country.
Texas isn't good.
But they're the same record.
Texas has basically not beaten anyone who's actually good.
Tremont Mark hit the game-winning shot. Remember him from his time with the Cougs?
I do.
Yeah.
Once a Coug, always a Coug.
That's Jeremy Golden. Matthew Golden, the pipeline from U of H to UT.
Just building up programs. That's what Houston does for Texas. Yes. Sorry.
We also saw John Whitmire finally pay off the bet that he made with Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas. He shared him an epic-looking table, but I wonder how you share him this food. He sent a message, and Quentin Lucas can only accept this food if he shares half of it with the referees. Yuck, 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 yuck.
He's just trying to be relevant, I guess.
I'll give him credit.
I give him credit for trying.
And unlike the mayor of Philadelphia, he didn't butcher the saying of the Houston Texans. Now, is he aware that the Houston Texans have a saying that goes by Texans
Swarm?
Doubtful.
I mean, it's easier than spelling Eagles. And they do say it at the games every third down.
Do you think John Whitmire went to a Texans home
game? No.
Okay.
Still not really sure who he is.
The mayor.
I know, but
that's all I got.
I don't know what he looks like, honestly.
He's bald.
He's bald. Yeah. That's a tough one to be the... What does he look like? Bald.
Well...
That's all, the only description we get? Bald?
It's not fat.
Let me see. John...
But, I think he should know Texans. We also can't chant Texans Swarm when they lost to the Eagles, so...
Texans?
I mean, to the Chiefs. Hey. But at least he paid his bet.
Yeah. I really got nothing other than he looks bald.
We have an update in the drama that surrounded former New England Patriot, I guess current New England Patriot, safety Jabril Peppers, who was suspended 7 games by the NFL for domestic violence. He did say that, testifying in court, that he had done some cocaine. But apparently, Juju Smith-Schuster, currently about to play in the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, was hanging out with Jabril Peppers' then-girlfriend at the time, which led to the dispute.
Yeah, reality TV at its finest, I guess.
The phone call was made to his girlfriend, and Jabril Peppers saw this, and it said Juju with two heart emojis next to his name.
Yeah, that's...
Yo, if you're hanging with someone on the side, you gotta be a lot more sly with the phone numbers of people that are calling you. First off, you gotta mute notifications, not that I've ever done this before. Second, you gotta have a good name. Attached to them.
Not your teammate's girl, man.
Well, I think there's... I mean, love is love.
Yeah.
There was two heart emojis, you said, so love is love. Football's football, love is love.
As someone who was in a group, and this group, let's just say, rather incestuous, you know, we go out drinking in Houston bars for years and years. There were a couple of people that I may or may not have been having a good old time with, and I didn't want anyone to know about.
Okay.
And I muted all notifications from them and had their phone saved as something else in case they ever did call. I didn't want anyone to know what was going on. Is that shady? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is shady.
Yes, but you admitted to it, so that makes it less shady.
But he admitted to it now.
Yeah, I didn't.
Not to anyone that would know.
Not then.
You never know.
So there you go, guys. That's pretty much in case you missed it. Because for the most part, like the big stories, they happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
in the conference championship game.
Eberflus did get hired by the Cowboys, so they hired their DC. So that's
right.
Relevant for the Cowboys.
Yes, you are.
That's really it.
Like, Commanders fans took over the Hard Rock Casino in Philadelphia. Good for them. They won something in Philadelphia over the weekend.
They did take it over.
They took it over, and they were very proud about that.
Like 30 people there, it looked
they
like.
Took it over.
The speech was really awkward.
It was like a locker room speech. Like he gave like, "I'm so proud of you guys. We came together. We did this." They pan around and it is 30, 40 Commanders fans at a restaurant.
They felt God in that Hard Rock Casino restaurant.
Yeah, it's a weird. I don't know. Like if I was ever like a tailgate or like some event and some fan tried to start giving a speech, I think I'd have to leave out of embarrassment.
I don't know. I think I'd stand up and slow clap.
It's the first NFC championship in 30 years.
Yeah, they're excited. Yeah. They're a little drunk.
He seemed too sober to be doing this also, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you have to be, like, really drunk if you want to give the speech.
James Harden. Did you see the interaction that he had with a Clippers basketball reporter? The man's constantly got something on his mind. He was asked what's the most fun part about a scoring performance. Harden said scoring. Follow-up question, exploding like that. Harden said this. Pause. Just the feeling when the ball goes in the basket consistently. Swag goes to another level. You got to watch your mouth. That was very sexual description, James, of playing basketball.
Got to watch your mouth.
Got to watch it.
Just the feeling when the ball goes in the basket.
Yeah, swag.
Exploding. Did anyone see this clip from Nate Burleson after the Kansas City Chiefs took down the Buffalo Bills? I gotta say, this is a kind of annoying quote. Nate Burleson, he wants you to resist the urge to be tired of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Say this to the fan bases out there. If you're not a Chiefs fan, that's okay. But resist the urge to fall for the narrative that we're tired of seeing them win, that we might be fatigued of watching KC go to the Super Bowl over and over again. You are witnessing greatness, and just be happy that you are alive to be there to see it.
What a stupid ass take.
I like Nate Burleson, but yeah, Nate, fuck off.
I think.
Sorry. You get lost, dude.
I will say, like,
you're allowed to be pissed.
Like,
if they
that
keep
makes
winning.
Me like want to be like out on Nate Burleson. Like that take sucks. Like you're supposed to enjoy greatness. Why? We didn't enjoy the Patriots. Like people didn't enjoy Jordan. People didn't enjoy LeBron and the Heat. Like you hate these teams. That's actually what makes sports fun.
It's one of those things where hating is a great part of sports, Joe. You're right on that front. And okay, I would say more so. Resist the urge to say that the reason the Chiefs keep doing it is the referees.
That's where I thought he was going to like turn it around to like resist like the blaming the ref stuff. But no, it's just like resist not liking that your team loses to this team. Like resist that feeling.
We are witnessing greatness.
Bills fans, Texans fans, Ravens fans, resist the feeling of, man, it sucks that these guys beat us every year.
It would be like during the Rockets years where they lose to the Warriors all the time. Someone saying, like, you must resist the urge to be angry at Steph Curry. And then when his wife makes a restaurant in Houston to completely bomb it on Yelp to the point where it has to go out of business.
Resist that urge to do that.
Resist the urge.
Like, did he ever have, like, did he watch sports growing up? Like, it would be, like, my follow-up question. Like, did you have a team that, like, you rooted for?
Knicks fans, resist the urge to hate Michael Jordan.
Resist!
Boston resist Red Sox fans, resist the urge to hate the Yankees for beating you every year.
More from that game afterwards. Did you see the interview DeAndre Hopkins did with James Palmer? Oof. Remember when the Texans had him? Not like DeAndre Hopkins did that much in that game, but he was around. Here's DeAndre Hopkins talking about going to his first Super Bowl.
Bob, you've been around for a long time. I've known you for a long time. What's going through your mind now that you finally get to play in a Super Bowl?
You know, man, I've been doubted A lot of people wrote me off, you know, 12 years in the league, man. You know, I got traded for some pennies in my prom. So, you know, I just want to thank the organization that gave me a shot. You know, I knew I could still go out here, make plays when I need to, draw double teams, and, you know, play meaningful football.
Pennies.
Better than a ham sandwich, like most of us call the David Johnson.
Poor David Johnson. It wasn't his fault. He got lumped in with that trade.
No, but it was a terrible trade.
Bill O'Brien thought David Johnson was the same player that David Johnson was a couple of years before. David Johnson, at one point in his career, was one of the best running backs in the NFL for a very brief moment of time.
Yeah, no, he was awesome in 2016. The problem is they traded for him in 2020.
Yeah.
Now,
and a second-round pick.
Hopkins hasn't had, you know, he's only had one season when she's caught over 100 passes. Since he got traded from the Texans.
Yeah, that was when the Murray
year. That was
right?
The first year was he was in Arizona. He hasn't had double-digit touchdowns since he left.
Joe George saying that Bill O'Brien was right to toss two Texans legend receivers in the trash, Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins?
If he would have got a fair value trade for DeAndre Hopkins, like, I don't know, the first-round pick that the Vikings gave up for Stephon Diggs like a week and a half later.
You mean the one that turned into Justin Jefferson?
Yep, like that one. Like if that would have happened.
They could have gotten the pick that turned into Justin Jefferson instead of Ross Blacklock.
Yeah, instead of a third and David Johnson. They're like, yeah, I think Bill O'Brien would have been right.
Or even just picking Ross Blacklock one pick before, say, Jonathan Taylor was drafted.
Yeah.
That would have been.
But you know, like.
Saved a little.
Also, like maybe if they traded him, not because like a hypocritical scumbag pastor told them to trade him because DeAndre Hopkins' baby mamas were around.
I don't know if he's a hypocrite because of that.
Like, maybe if they just, like, I don't know. I think he's a hypocrite.
I think other reasons. I don't think the baby mamas.
No, yeah, I don't know that he has baby mamas.
No, he's just a hypocrite, yes. I guess they're not connected. But, you know, if you traded him for football reasons, not for personal reasons.
I thought he was just a fraud. I don't know about hypocrite. I'd have to know. Like, I feel like he's just an annoying person that somehow weasels his way into your good graces if you are somebody who is nice. One of those guys. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, damn, this guy's a weasel. By the way, Steven Nelson also in the Super Bowl. Full circle moment for him. Got to say, it's got to be pretty fun to sit back, not do anything, get paid some sort of money to watch the Chiefs beat the Texans and then go on, beat the Buffalo Bills, and now advance to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can't say I'm rooting for Steven Nelson.
I actually am.
Yeah.
I heard a couple of things over the weekend, a little drama, and I kind of get why Steven Nelson didn't like D'Amico.
Okay.
Ooh. Made him play hurt. Made him play a game hurt.
Ooh. Interesting.
Basically, I think it was in Cincinnati. They basically were told him, like, hey, man, you got to go out there and play. And he was like, I don't know if I can get out there, guys. And he still played. And there was some other stuff, too, where he was getting singled out. Didn't appreciate being singled out.
That kind of tracks with what we're hearing about what's going on with the Texans. Or just like D'Amico gets kind of singularly focused on certain guys and not others.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way to put it.
Charles Menehu, also Texas legend, going to the Super Bowl. Patrick Creighton's pissed. I bet. We used to have a promo that ran and it was Patrick Creighton like, just dump it on Charles Menehu.
Why?
He's been to like two Super Bowls since. Because he was at the Niners too,
After he left the Texans, he went to the Niners and had some sort of comment about, like, I can see why this is a winning organization.
Well, he was right.
There's some, like, he took one passing shot at the Texans.
Oh. When, like, people, like, for some reason felt like they had to defend them for no reason.
This probably was, like, 2022-ish. Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Menehu and, he was right.
In case you missed it, this is the last one before we get into garbage time, and this should probably be in garbage time. Did anyone see / hear the Philadelphia Eagles fan who brought an interesting form of fireworks to the celebration of the Eagles winning the NFC Championship game?
No.
That was a gun.
That was
definitely a gun.
Oh, get us in the camera.
Go, man! So, I mean, very Philadelphian. Yeah, there's on video an Eagles fan in a crowd of excited Eagles fans after they had just won the NFC Championship game just pulls out some sort of gun
and fires two shots straight up in the air in the middle of a crowd. And I think the funniest part of all these Eagles fans is they're like, was that a gun? Classic.
Yeah, I mean, you probably just got used to it. I mean, it's not their first celebration. I don't think it was the worst celebration we saw from all of that, though. Because this also belongs in garbage time.
Yeah.
The Empire State Building.
All right, well, let's get into garbage time real quick.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
The Empire State Building lit up in Eagles colors.
Ooh.
After they won the NFC Championship.
Interesting.
Why? Like, I guess they pay for it. But, like, how can you do that? Like, you're in New York. Like,
yeah, I hate that.
Yeah,
I think they light up, like, whoever makes the Super Bowl. Because it's happened before. I think it happened with the last time the Eagles made it.
But, like, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't need to do that branding.
Yeah.
There's no reason for
it. You could say, no, not all money is good money.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
It's also just weird. Like, I don't know if it's money thing. Like, that's some deal with the NFL. Like, it's just weird. I mean, I remember Dallas did this. Dallas did the, they put their skyline in orange and blue when the Astros won the World Series in 2017.
Solidarity with Texas, I guess. Well, there is that weird element of people in the state will root for Texas in the World Series, and there was an alarming amount of people who rooted for the Rangers in the World Series against the Diamondbacks. You should have just not watched, but that's how I feel.
Or rooted for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that too. Let's get into garbage time with some Speak for Your Pizza goodness. This is a regular guest of Speak for Your Pizza, who also, I believe, hosts the radio show that leads into John and Lance. Here is Chris Canty getting absolutely destroyed by his own producer.
The criticism that we've all had about the Eagles ain't about the players on the field. It's been about the coach. I had Jalen Hurts as a top 10 quarterback coming into this season. I'm just now looking back at my notes.
I also had him outside the top 10 at one point.
No, I had him as a top 10 quarterback coming into the season. I'm sitting here looking at my notes.
Yeah, there's clips online from First Take and this show of you saying, I don't have Jalen Hurts in the top 10.
Okay, all right. I'm just telling you the list.
Okay, all right. I'm just telling you. Love it.
I mean,
well, that was a pretty good. I'm going to try to redirect this conversation. This is in my notes. This is in my list. And listen, you played in the NFL. Maybe you forget a thing or two. It was really funny seeing the other hosts in the room. Specifically the lady that's a part of that show looking straight ahead and I think realizing, oh god, this is awkward. I don't want to be here.
Yeah, producer, gotta know your role there.
Apparently he's an Eagles fan.
Okay, that explains it all. That explains everything.
And Chris made it worse.
Classic Eagles.
He tweeted, gonna leave this here for @PatCostello20, so he tags his producer and the rest of the clown aka Eagles fans. I'm gonna good luck with your job, Pat. Might be losing it. Hopefully not. But
he can just work on Greeny.
But also, like, well, Greeny doesn't have a radio show anymore.
Sorry, my guy, Pat.
But also, shout out to Pat for, like, having the guts to do that, because not all producers would.
No one's more aggressive than Eagles fans in media, whether it's Sal Palantonio or Greg Frank. Like, those Eagles fans, when they're on the warpath, good God, like, just get out of the way. Rhode Island coach Archie Miller, he saw a tweet over the weekend and he felt the need to bring it up because he doesn't agree that the SEC is the best college basketball conference.
Difficult. I heard somebody say the other day, like, you know, the SEC is the best league in the country, but, you know, in all games they're like 54-54. Somebody said that. I don't know if that's even accurate, but, like, do you know how hard it is in every league, you know, to win? You know, it's just hard to win any game.
So that's Rhode Island coach Archie Miller. Yeah, they're 54-54 because, Archie, that's how math works. There's been 54 SEC games played. Someone has to win them and someone has to lose them. Someone put that out to troll him, and he actually fell for it. And he might not be wrong about the SEC not being the best college basketball
conference.
It's definitely not. I know that they are loving the smell of their own farts right now. I even heard, like, this weekend, a Texas fan friend of mine was like, oh, yeah, Big 12? Not so big anymore. And I'm like, relax.
The Big 12 is the best conference.
It's got their beloved Cougs. Stop, Sean.
That's like half the top 10 is in the SEC.
54-54 in the SEC, Sean. 54-54.
You're right. Texas's big win this weekend was canceled out by Texas A&M losing.
That's true.
Do you think, like, what do you think, like,
big point.
The PR person, like, who had to, like, explain to him how bad he sounded right there.
That's a tough conversation to have. Be like, Coach.
Coach, you got trolled, dog.
You just sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like you said, like, the wife, his brother Sean Miller, like, who tells him? Of just like, you sound like an idiot, dude. Or you just let him wear it.
That's on that note.
Depends on what his record is.
Is that what I would do to you?
That's what Paul would do to me. He would just let me wear it.
Sometimes you just gotta wear it. I mean, I could wear it too. I'd wear it for you.
Yeah, that's why. Good.
Where'd you have Jalen Hurts preseason? Was he in your top 10?
But now he is, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
He's the key is right now.
The key is never write your takes. Down.
Never take notes.
Write them.
Then, never take notes like Chris can't.
Then people have to find them. Mm. So there you go. There you go, everybody. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's how this industry works. And that's how the Golan and George Show wraps up on this blessed Tuesday. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, our Twitchers, our YouTubers, and everybody else who listened this afternoon. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass and Joe George to my right. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.